Together we remember you. Together we enjoy you. We also enjoy you in your word. Lord, we give each and every one of us into your hand, even though our need may be different, but all what we need just you. Lord, we want to turn our hearts to you so the veils can be taken away. We can see you face to face. We have no trust in ourselves. Our trust is in you. We consecrate this meeting and all of us into your hand. Cover us with your victorious blood so we can all enjoy your fresh anointing. We pray in your precious name. Amen. You know, this week, the verses we have is the second half of Ephesians chapter 3. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul had his first prayer. And that prayer is mainly to pray to the Lord so that we can see the revelation. But then, now, in the second half of Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul had another very important prayers. So I want to share with you what are the things impress me the most or enjoy that I enjoy the most. Then you can fellowship, you can share what you have enjoyed the most. So the first thing that impressed me is how Paul started his prayer in this chapter. Now, how did he start? He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." For this cause. I don't know about you. I have never prayed this way. Have you ever prayed this way? And I don't remember I ever pray started from these few phrases, "for this cause." I just don't remember. Did you pray this way? Go to the Lord, "for this cause, now I'm going to pray to you." So at least I have never done this. But then, for Paul to do this, then we can guess, we can realize, must with some meanings. Why did Paul start his second very important prayers in this way? For this cause. So, since Paul started this very, very important prayer this way, then we can see that this prayer is because many things. Now, what are the things that Paul did or said before this prayer? That is all the previous things that he said in the first half of the book of Ephesians. And then when we look at what are the things in the first half of the book of Ephesians, then we realize that it's very much related to his second important prayers. That's why this morning, even though we are on the second half of chapter 3, but we still read those Paul's prayer in the first prayers. Because if we are not clear about the first prayer, then we will never understand what he was talking about in the second prayer. So that's why we did read the first prayer first. So based on what we see there, then we can understand why Paul started the prayer this way. Then if we go back to chapter 1, what did he say? What did he pray? And we see that the major thing he said, or is, about the matter of revelation, right? And that the revelation started from him. He saw the revelation. And why we did not continue our study of the New Testament, why we did not continue on to the book of Romans, We have explained this a number of times. That is because we saw what happened in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, show how Paul was persecuting the Christians, then how the Lord met him, and how did he get saved, and how did he see the vision of the body, and how he was put in prison. And then, after he was put in prison for 2 years, then when he got the chance, then he went to Rome. Even though he was still in prison, but he had certain amount of freedom. And so we saw all these things. And then these things related very much to Paul's revelation. In other words, the more he was in the prison, the more revelations he saw. And then out of his revelation, he wrote 8 epistles after his being put in prison. So that's why we have the burden to continue, not continue on to the book of Romans, but continue to the book of Ephesians, because this is one of the very important epistles. You know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all these books, the majority are just epistles. Epistles means letters. These are the letters Paul wrote to different churches. And so again, so if we just look at this in an objective way, then we could see what happened. We could see that Paul saw the divine revelation, the heavenly revelation. And because he saw this, then he became the apostle and the prophet. And so when he became apostle, apostle is not a title. It's not a position. This word apostle actually means he was the sent one. So Paul saw these revelations. Then he became, first he became a sent one. God sent him out. And outwardly speaking, seemingly he was a prisoner, and he was brought into to Rome, and he just changed the prison from Caesarea from that prison to another prison, to the prison in Rome. But the second one, the one in Rome, in the beginning, he had the good freedom, so he could freely to share the revelation he saw. So this is, on one hand, it seems that just by the outward environment, he got into this very good environment that he could speak the revelation to everyone who visited him. But actually, that was also God's sending him. God sent him to do what? To share with people his revelation. Not only that, because he was sent by God to help people to see the divine heavenly revelation, so he also became a prophet. A prophet, basically, is not just to guess what will happen in the future. No, in the Bible, the prophet actually is a person who spoke for God and who spoke of God, spoke the things of God, and even to use their spirit to speak this God into us. This was a prophet. Now, the reason we use the term that we are the ones who are, just speak for God. Sometimes we avoid to use this word, prophet, because that gave people an impression we try to predict what will happen. And in the Old Testament time, yes, they did have some prediction, like once, if I remember correctly, certain ones say, oh, after 2 years, there will be big earthquake. After 2 years, surely enough, there was a big earthquake. But this kind of prophecy is very rare. But rather, in the Old Testament, all the speaking is reveal Christ to us. And so don't pay attention to the prediction, what will happen tomorrow. Forget about that. We have to see what are the content of these prophets. What did they do? Did they all the time try to predict what will happen tomorrow? Yes, they did predict a lot of things, but all the things they predict is related to Christ. And for instance, like in Isaiah, that was 700 years before Christ's first birth, first coming. And but all these, a lot of detailed things that Christ did or Christ said on the earth, Isaiah all knew or already written in the book of Isaiah. Not only Isaiah, and also many other prophets. They all prophesied concerning Christ. We have to be impressed about this point, the content of these prophets. What did these prophets say? They did not say other things. They really did not care about earthquakes. Their speaking is to reveal this Christ to us. Before this Christ actually came to this world to accomplish his work of redemption and to start his work of building up his church, and before all these things, the Old Testament prophets had already known these things and share with us or share with the people in the Old Testament time that there will be a Messiah will come and there will be a Savior will come. Now this is the Lord Jesus and this is the God's chosen one. So we have to pay attention to what these prophets say. Now Paul was that kind of prophet, that and also he also saw the heavenly revelation. So he was a sent one, the apostle. And also he was the one speaking to people concerning this wonderful Christ, Jesus Christ. And so he is the correct, the right kind of prophet. But Paul's burden is not only he himself will be apostle to send by God, and he also was a prophet to speak for God and to speak for God and to speak God into people. So this is what Paul's burden. First, he saw the vision, he saw the revelation, and then he became the a sent one, became an apostle, and then he also became a prophet and speaking for God. Again, I want to emphasize this, that don't consider the an apostle is what? Is someone with a position. Now, I heard someone in the past, I heard someone say, oh, it's not good enough for me to be an elder. I hope one day I will become an apostle. Apostles is above elders. Now, this kind of people neither is qualified to be an elder nor qualified to be an apostle because they did not know the meaning of to be sent by God. And so this is what you see in the first prayer. Not only he himself became an apostle, he was willing to be sent by God, and also he was the one spoke for God and spoke for God and introduced this God, especially this God is embodied in this Jesus Christ. And so the real apostles are the ones speaking for God to be God, to be a speaker of God. And not only Paul himself became such a person, he also wanted many other ones can see the heavenly ministry, can see the heavenly revelation. And so he does not want him alone to be the apostle and to be the prophet. Now, sometimes people did not have the pure heart. They hope, oh, I'm the only apostle, I'm the only prophet, then I'd be somebody. And so, you see, you people don't know, I know that this kind of attitude is definitely not please God. So never try to consider all these as some kind of a position. No, we have to see it's a real ministry. And so Paul's attitude is, he knows God's heart. God's heart wants all God's children to be apostles, to be sent by the Lord, by God, and also to speak of God. Don't talk about other nonsense. Don't gossip about anything, but just talk about Christ. Just introduce Christ to people. This is what God wants, and this was what Paul wanted. So that's why he gave this first prayer. And then when he came to the second prayer, for all these cause, then he prayed to God the Father. Then so in this second important prayers, what impressed me was this word that used four times. So here it says, then in verse 16, he said, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So anyway, all together, four times, that. So how about read these few verses? So then you know what is the meaning of this that. And on one hand, this, okay, let's read verse 16 and 17 and also 19. So let's read verse 16 together. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man. Grounded in the main things. That you may be filled into all the fullness of God. So here, that, you can also be translated like in order that. So what does that mean? That means you have one step after another. In other words, the last that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. So this is what? This is the experience of this God. And this is the experience of this wonderful Christ. So why we said the second prayer Paul prayed is because of he wanted us to have the experience. In other words, not only we need to see the revelation, but just to see the revelation itself still not enough. We need to experience all the revelations we see. So here, how do we know? Because here it says that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. This is the real experience. This is the experience to the uttermost. But then, how could we have this? Then we go back to the previous that, That was in, it says that you being rooted and grounded in love. If you want to be filled into all the fullness of God, then we need to be filled with the love of God, so that you being rooted and grounded in love. And this is extremely important. If you read later in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, in that verse, we will learn how the church can be practically built up. It is not some outward organized something. It is not an organization. It is a matter of life. It's a living organism. And so you can see this. Then how can the church practically to be built up? It depends on all the saints function. And when all the saints function, and then the church will be built up. And how can all these saints to function? It functions in love. We love the Lord. We enjoy the Lord's love, and we love the Lord. So that's why I feel the Lord's table meeting we had this morning is wonderful, because not only we remember Jesus' work of redemption and how much he suffered for us, and that's because he loves us. So then he accomplished the work of redemption, and then we enjoy his love. And so it is in the love the church can be built up. Now, if there's no love, there's no building. And because love actually is Christ himself. Not only Christ has love, Christ is love. Just like not only God has light, God is light. So with God, we only have one God, whether Christ and God the Father and the God the Spirit. They are not three separate gods. They are just one God. They dwell in each other. You can never separate them. But anyway, the things we need to see that all these things should lead us into the Lord's love. Now, we always hope that we can have love so we can care for other people. But without enjoying Christ's love, we can never love anybody. None of us can manufacture a love. If we try to manufacture a love, that love is your natural love. That love not only will not help the building, it will tear down the building because it's something in the flesh. So here we see that in order for us to be filled the fullness of God, then we need to enjoy this. We need to be rooted and grounded in love. Then how can we be rooted and grounded in love? Then we have to go back to verse 17. That says Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. So here we have to what? Let Christ to make his home in our hearts. I believe most of you know what is a person's heart. A person's heart includes his whole soul. We know we human beings, we are soul. We are living soul. And that's us. But because Adam and Eve fell, rebelled against God, so our soul is damaged. And so our soul needs to be saved. So when people ask you, have you been saved? Now, I mentioned this in the past. Have you been saved? Now, if a Christian asks you, have you been saved? I advise you to say, yes, I have been saved. Otherwise, he will think that you have not accepted the Lord as he tried to preach the low gospel to you. But then, we have to see that, yes, concerning our spirit, we have been saved. At the time when we received Christ into us, before we received Christ into us, our spirit was dead. But once we received Christ into us, then He will bring us what? We will become alive with Him. And the first thing will be alive is our spirit. God or the Lord will make aliving our spirit. And then, not only our spirit become alive, and also this spirit will mingle with the divine spirit. And so this is, I believe all of us know this. And so here that now then we come back to this question, what is the heart? The heart is our whole soul, and our soul has the major functions. One is our mind, another is our emotion, another is our will. So these are the component of our soul. And then concerning the heart, that is in addition to our complete soul, and also our major part of our spirit is our conscience. So our heart also includes our conscience. So in other words, when we allow Christ to make His home in our heart, that means we should let Christ to be the Lord, control our mind, emotion, and the will, and also our conscience. Now this is what it means, let Christ make His home in our heart. Now we have said many times in the past, that is that we have to see, what does it mean to make home? Home is not a place that you just stay overnight. A home is not a hotel. Hotel, you may pay a big price to stay there for a night, but that room does not belong to you. You have no right to make any change, to change their furnitures, to change their carpet. No, you cannot change anything, because that hotel room is only a place, only a room you spend overnight. It does not belong to you. It's not your home. A home is a place that you can control. And to make home, let Christ make home in our heart. Now we all know in the Bible we have four important books. We call that the books of the heart of the book. No, that's those four books, and Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and also Colossians. Now these are the heart of the books, the heart of the Bible. And then this verse 17, that Christ may make His home in our hearts through faith. Now this verse is the heart of the hearts. If you don't have this verse, if you don't know this verse, if you don't practice this verse, in others, if you don't let Christ to make His home in our heart, then you can talk about the heart of the Bible, and you have nothing to do with the heart of the Bible. The heart of the Bible is based on here, whether we allow Christ to make His home in our heart. Now, here is not only said, let Christ make His home in our heart. It says, through faith. Through faith. Why you have the word through faith here? Then again, it means we cannot produce any love in ourselves. We cannot produce anything. All what we produce is from our flesh, from our old man. Only can damage us, cannot do any good to us. So that's why in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, our old man has been crucified with Christ. And we die with Christ. Why at the time when we baptize people, then we don't use sprinkling? We immerse the whole body into the water. Because that's the testimony. What testimony? Testimony, our old man has died with Christ on the cross. As a dead person, the dead body need to be buried. And that's why when you, of course, the matter of baptism has many meanings. One of the important meaning is bury our old man. Our old man has been crucified with Christ. Our old man has died in him. Therefore, it needs to be buried. No one just sprinkle a few drop of dirt on the head to bury a person. You cannot. You have to put the whole body under the water. So this is the testimony of the baptism. So here, our whole being, that our whole soul plus our conscience in the spirit, because our conscience, even though it's a part of the spirit, but our conscience very often is controlled by our culture, controlled by our habit. And many people did many terrible things, but because the environment everybody else was doing the same thing, then they think, what's wrong with this? And they all did this, therefore I also can do it. Then, no, that the whole society maybe go one way. Today you can see before the president election, we really encourage the saints to pray. We don't talk about politics. We don't tell you vote for this one, don't vote for that one. No, you all vote according to your conscience. But one thing we have to see, that is that the whole country is going downward concerning morality. And this wonderful country, United States, was established by all those Puritans. Those Christians, they are purely following the Lord. And all the Constitution was written according to the principle of the Bible. And that's why this country enjoyed more than 200 years of the top country in the world. But in the past few years, you could see all the moral standards and the morality was going downhill. In the past, when people commit certain sins, they still have the sense of shamefulness. But now, people can commit many gross sins, but they not only their conscience are dead, and they cannot see what they did was terrible. They even show off. They even think very proud to be in that kind of sinful things. So we have to see that all this. These things are very practical, and we have to be very much alert in this. So all of us, not only ourselves, especially all the parents, even grandparents, you need to help all the young ones. I'm afraid even some of our young ones have been affected by today's sinful societies and thinking, what's wrong with that? We all have freedom to do whatever we want to do. Well, we cannot do whatever we want to do because we are created by God. Our God is a righteous God and our God is a holy God. Whenever you try to do the same thing as the other people are doing, then you offend God. Sooner or later, the judgment will come to us. And then the Lord will come back soon. All the many signs, you could see that the Lord is coming back soon. But then when the Lord comes back, the first the judgment seat of Christ is for all the Christians. In other words, God's judgment starts with his own family first before he judged the unbelievers. So we have to face all these things. Don't argue. No need to argue. When the Lord comes back, and Christ will be the one to judge us, no argument. By that time, you will see, we all need to be ready to meet our God. And so our argument today means nothing. You have to see what the Bible says, because God will judge us according to His word in the Bible. It's not according to today's environment or today's people, what the people said in this corrupted world. No. So here you can see that we have, even now, we have to let Christ to live, make His home in our heart. This is the most important verse in the New Testament. Let's say this together, okay? That Christ may make His home in your hearts through faith. Now, can we do it? We cannot do it. Then what should we do? Just through faith. What is through faith? 1 John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us very clearly that for as much as receive Him, and when we receive the Lord, that is the real meaning of faith. Faith means what? It's not that you come here every Lord's Day and you come to all the meetings. Faith is receive Christ into us. Whatever He said, whatever He did, and we have to receive what Christ said, Christ's word, Christ Himself. And the faith is based on our receiving. If we do not receive the Lord's word, if we do not receive Christ or the riches of Christ, then we are not allow Him to make a home in our heart. This is very practical. So then, this is the third that. Now we come back to the first that in verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into inner man. So this, all the following things is based on this first that. The first that says what? Let's read verse 16 again. That He will grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man. Now, before we got saved, before we received the Lord Jesus into us to be our life, and there's no inner man or outer man. But once we receive the Lord, then when this Lord Jesus Christ enters into us, He is our life. Then we will have two lives. In other words, we have two persons in us. Now, one is our old man. Our old man is dead, should be buried in the tomb. That is why we have this baptism. But many Christians, even though they were buried already, but then many times our old man climbed out of the tomb and walked around. Sometimes in the past I gave this testimony, and that when I was young, my sister was somewhat jealous about me because my parents always gave me more things than gave her things. So she tried to scare me. So she, every night, she told a ghost story to me. So I was so scared, I dare not to sleep, and I dare not turn off the light. I have to keep the light on. But then when I listened enough ghost story, then I thought, that's nothing. I can make my own ghost story. It always like this. Whether you call this vampire, or you call this this or that. It's just different names. And then at the night of the lightning was this lightnings and the heavy rain and it's dark, pitch dark, and then all these ghosts came out and tried to kill people, and then, in other words, bring death to people. And so I can make the same kind of story. I know all these are not true. But then, later, may the Lord cover me to say this, sometimes in the church life, this became true. I'm only talking about myself. I'm not talking about anybody else. And I have been crucified with Christ, and also I've been baptized. That means I've been buried. But from time to time, and I don't know, when I'm not living in my spirit, when I'm living in my soul, well, before I know it, I was gossiping with people. Or maybe I'm not gossiping, but I'm listening to those gossips. And then, that means what? That means I'm spreading death. And all the gossipings will kill people spiritually. And maybe we do many things that will kill people, really. So that's why I said this in the past. Sometimes our word will kill people. And then my advice is, if in the middle of your sentence you discover you are gossiping or you are spreading death, you should stop right away. Okay? Don't say, I have not finished my sentence yet. No, if you only spoke half of the sentence, you only kill people halfway. Now, if you finish your sentence, then you totally kill this person. So we have to really be very careful. We are not just talking about these things as some doctrines. Now, all these are the things that we have to pay attention to. We need to or live according to the principle mentioned in the Bible. So we thank the Lord. Not only Paul gave us the first prayers so that we can all, our eyes can be open, we can see this heavenly revelation. And for us to see the heavenly revelation is not for us to be proud according to some mental knowledge. And the important thing is that we can really see the heavenly revelation and be caught and be taken over by the revelation, by the vision, and to affect our daily life and also our church life. Now, we should not just stop here, and we need to also join many others are willing to be sent by the Lord and are willing to go out to preach the gospel and also willing to pursue after the Lord. And so our heavenly revelation has to have all these kind of influence in our daily life and also in our church life. And then when we come to the second prayer, it is concerning our experience. So this, in other words, we need to allow Christ make his home in our hearts. That also related to the first prayer. So that means we allow Christ to grow in us and to expand in us. Now, Christ himself, he is God. He's, like I said many times, he's infinitive. Concerning Christ himself, he is already the infinitive. But the Christ inside of us need to grow, need to be increased. Just like our physical life, when we were born from our parents, and then we, in the beginning, even though we have all the organs, but still, we were just a baby. And this baby has all the organs a normal person has and has the human life, but that life needs to grow and grow into maturity. So the same principle that at the time when we receive the Lord into us, we were born again. But the Christ in us is just a little bit, not too much. This Christ that has been received by us, inside of us, that Christ needs to grow in us. And that this is the, when we talk about Christ need to grow and it need to grow into maturity, and all this, all refers to the Christ that is today is living inside of us. And if this Christ is not increasing in us, the church is not being built. So I just want to share this, and now you can share whatever you enjoy.
We want to remind the saints that this afternoon at 2 p.m., there will be the memorial meeting for our beloved brother Daniel Hsu. So we trust the saints don't forget that and be there to stand with the family and to express the Lord. Now at this time, we can pray. And after is your time to share. In the meantime, those going to the language meetings will do so. Let's pray.